Hebrews chapter 1, God's final word, his son. In the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. The son is the radiance of God's glory, and the exact representation of his being, sustaining all things by his powerful word. After he had provided purification for sins, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty in heaven. So he became as much superior to the angels as the name he has inherited is superior to theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, "You are my son. Today, I have become your father." Or again, "I will be his father, and he will be my son." And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, "Let all God's angels worship him." In speaking of the angels, he says, "He makes his angels spirits, and his servants flames of fire." But about the son, he says, "Your throne, O God, will last forever and ever. A scepter of justice will be the scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has set you above your companions by anointing you with the oil of joy." He also says, "In the beginning, Lord, you laid the foundations of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will roll them up like a robe. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you remain the same, and your years will never end." To which of the angels did God ever say, "Sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet"? Are not all angels ministering spirits sent to serve those who will inherit salvation? This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Let's pray together. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. So when we were planning this Sunday, there were a few things that we didn't factor in. One is that we were going to kick off a sermon series, and it's quite good to do that with a little bit of background to the book and so on. No time to do that this morning. However, I've got a little handout here which has a little bit of background to the letter to the Hebrews, with an outline of what I'm about to, well, some of what I'm about to say, because it will be a condensed version of what's on here. So those are available on the table just at the back on the right-hand side as you go out if you would like to know a little bit more about the letter to the Hebrews. And this letter, the writer isn't identified. For a long time it was thought Paul wrote them, but it's unlikely that that is actually the case. So there are two candidates for who might have written it, perhaps Barnabas, who was a Jew of the tribe of Levi, became a close friend of Paul's after Paul's conversion. And the other possible author is Apollos, whose name was first suggested by Martin Luther. But whoever wrote it, it was written so that we might know and God's people might know more fully who Jesus is. And it was written at some point before the destruction of Jerusalem in AD 70. So there's some more details about that, all of that, available on this. But for today's purposes, what we're going to think about is this. Would you like to hear God speak? All of us would like to hear God speak, I think. You know, sometimes people will say to me, "If only God would speak to me, I would believe in him. If only I could hear God's voice, I would believe." And then there are those of us who will say that thing that is very difficult to contradict, when someone will say something like, God told me something. God has said this, he's told me something personal. It's usually in that fascinating, you know, the youth group where the young man sees the young woman and thinks, she's a pretty young woman, I'd quite like to take her for a coffee. And the young man goes to the girl and says, the Lord has told me you're to go out with me, or even the Lord has told me you're to marry me. And the young lady turns around and says, well, that's really, really interesting. Thank you for that. It's just a pity that the Lord has not told me that is the case. It's very easy for us to kind of manipulate what God is saying. And we need to be very, very careful about that. But at the beginning of the letter to the Hebrews, we see this brilliant kind of expression which tells us that God has spoken. Verse 1, and it's really verses 1 and 2 that we're going to focus in on for these few minutes now. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he's spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. So the first thing that we might learn from the letter to the Hebrews is that God spoke. God spoke in the past. God wants to communicate. God is not like the average Scottish man who does not want to communicate, who will sit quietly in front of the telly or read the newspaper and will not communicate with anybody. Sorry, I may be disparaging to the Scottish male. I just apply that to myself. God is in the business of speaking. He is not silent. He communicates. He means to connect with us. He's not an idea to be thought about. He is a person to be listened to and understood and enjoyed and even obeyed. God is a person who speaks. It's where the writer of Hebrews begins. There's no more important fact than this. There is a God, and God speaks. And he speaks so that we might know him and love him and live in joyful obedience to him. God speaks. God spoke. God speaks. What a great way to begin the year. To be reminded that the God we worship Sunday by Sunday, day by day, through our lives, in our workplaces, in our homes, in our schools, God wants to speak to me and to you. What will that be like this year? God speaking to us. The second thing that we might learn this morning from this passage is this. Notice what it says. God spoke to our forefathers, those who came before us, through the prophets at many times and in various ways. God speaks in many and different ways, in the prophets or by the prophets. He spoke through the prophets. God kept sending the prophets all the way through what we now call the Old Testament so that God's people would hear again and again and again the word that he was speaking to his people. God spoke to the fathers in the prophets. God spoke to the fathers, and they heard and understood what the prophets were saying. So here's something. God chooses some people to be his particular agents, his inspired human instruments to speak to those who came before us. But it's not just the prophets that are speaking off their own heads. You know, sometimes when we listen to people in church speaking, we know that it's just their thoughts that are at work. Too many church leaders are like this. It's just what we think that comes through. A huge test of whether something is coming from God is by measuring it against what God has already said. God speaking to the fathers when the prophets speak and write. God spoke to the fathers by the prophets. So that's why we take seriously all that God has said throughout the Bible. Because it is God speaking to us. That, again, is a good foundation for us as we go into 2019. The third thing is this. He spoke in many and various ways. God speaks in many and various ways. God is not withdrawn, not uncommunicative. This verse kind of stresses the lavish variety of God's communication. Just think of all the ways he spoke in the Old Testament. So maybe you would open the Bible up. I could encourage you to. Let's study Leviticus this year. And you might find it quite difficult to see how God is speaking to you through Leviticus. I met with my very first minister just before Christmas for a coffee, and I was chatting with him and reminded him that when I first came to faith back in 1980, we spent the whole of a year going through Deuteronomy in the evening services. I've got to say, I find it quite hard to hear God speak very loudly. But speak he did. It was very clear that our call to obedience, the call to obedience in Deuteronomy was very, very strong, and we learned much from that. But maybe we don't get Leviticus, or maybe we would hear him more clearly by reading Proverbs. Maybe we don't see the point clearly in Zechariah, but we might be moved by the message of Jonah, the prophet. Maybe if you don't catch on, because there are rather strange visions in the book of Ezekiel of winged chariots up in the sky, and we don't quite get that, what God might be saying in the midst of that. But then we come across the book of Job, and we listen to Job's sufferings, and we think, man, I'm in there. That's my life that Job is experiencing. The point is this: God creates lots of possibilities for us in Scripture for us to hear his voice. He's not withdrawn, not uncommunicative. There are many places and many ways that he's spoken by the prophets. So maybe sometimes when we complain about the silence of God, we need to understand that God still speaks. But then we come to the crux of the matter in Hebrews, where the writer is pointing consistently to Jesus. And his point, his main point, is this: that if God was communicating to the fathers through the prophets in the past, if God was speaking to them, he's speaking even more loudly and more clearly in his son Jesus. God has spoken to us in these last days. He has spoken to us by his son. God has spoken to us by his son. God's now spoken not just by the prophets, but by his son. Here's something interesting. Jesus isn't just a prophet. Did you know this? So Lord Tariq Ahmad, who is one of the, I think he's a Home Office minister in the House of Lords for the government, and he put out his Christmas greeting to the world, talking about Christmas. And he began, I was going to show it, but I'll just tell you what he said. And at the beginning of it, he talked about, we're celebrating Christmas, the birth of the prophet Jesus. Do you see the mistake there? Because it's just, you know, that's what our Muslim friends think Jesus is. He's just another one of the prophets, another way that God has spoken. But of course, Christians don't believe that Jesus was a prophet. If you sit with your Muslim friends and you ever have a discussion with them, we're always trying to say, well, you know, of course, my friend, we believe that Jesus isn't just a prophet. He is the Son of God. Jesus isn't just a prophet. Some thought he was just a prophet, if you look at John chapter 9, verse 17, but he's not merely a prophet. It's a huge mistake to think that about Jesus. He is the radiance of God's glory, the exact representation of God's nature. He is eternally begotten Son without beginning and without ending. Later on in Hebrews chapter 7 and verse 3, we pick up on that. God has not just spoken by inspiring apostles and prophets. He's spoken by coming to us in the person of his Son Jesus. That's why we celebrate Christmas. who Jesus was, what he said, what he accomplished by dying and rising from the dead is God's word to us. This is what God has said. This is what we should hear. This is what we need to listen to far more earnestly than we do. So a question for us this morning as we gather on this first Sunday of 2019 is this: have we heard, have I heard the word of God spoken in the person of Jesus? Next time we're complaining, God, why are you not speaking? Maybe we stop and we ask ourselves, have I heard this word, Jesus? Have I spoken to him? Have I heard who he is? Have I received him? The last thing that we'll pick up on this morning, there's much more that could be said about this passage, but the time is short. The last thing that we'll pick up on comes from this passage very clearly towards the end. And it's this: Jesus is the final word. There is no more that we need to hear from God. He is the final word. That's what this passage tells us so clearly. He is the final word. He is all that we need to hear. There's no third phase of speaking. In these last days, the writer to the Hebrews says, we're in the last days. There is nothing more coming from God. This is it. He's all that we need to know. He's all that we need to hear. The last days began with the coming of the Son into the world. And we've been living in the last days since the days of Jesus. That is the last days of history as we know it, before the full and the final establishment of the kingdom of God. And so we look to Jesus, the one who came into the world, who lived that human life, who went to the cross for the sins of the world, who rose again to bring new life to the world. He is the final word from God. So when we want to hear God speaking, we look to him and we listen to what he says. When I complain that I don't hear the word of God, when I feel a desire to hear the voice of God and get frustrated that he doesn't speak in the ways that I crave, and we all exist in a world where we crave for things, we become consumers of stuff. We're particularly conscious of that at Christmas time. I wonder if the one that we need, we fail to hear very clearly because we're not listening for his voice. Maybe we have heard Jesus. Maybe we've heard God speak in Jesus, but we treat it rather lightly, rather like how we skim the internet or skim a newspaper or skim television or skim even our way through a book. All of us can be guilty of that. May we make it our commitment in 2019 to really listen to what the Lord is saying to us. May our passion be for the Holy Spirit to focus all of our attention and all of our love and all of our affection on the final and decisive word spoken in the Son of God in the last days. So that's the challenge for us, 2019. Will we make Jesus our desire, our focus, the one we worship, the one we love? Will we get over ourselves and want him more than anything? You see, the church that trusts in Jesus and trusts in the one who the Lord has spoken through will make a huge impact when we sincerely believe that God speaks through him. May God help all of us this year to focus on Jesus, the one through whom God speaks.